Don't get your prophecy from the prophecy shows on TV. Don't get your theology from Left Behind. Okay? Don't do that. These are interpretations that have a lot of wrong in them. It's not, don't get your theology from there. It's a fiction based on a limited amount of scripture.
Welcome to this new week of broadcasts here on Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, your opening comments today, you kind of left us hanging. So give us a preview of what we'll see today.
Well, Dave, although it might be fun as a believer to watch the Left Behind movies, and that's great, but don't get your theology from that. It has been fictionalized, and the reality is so many people get their understanding from a viewpoint that is not accurate. So with this in mind, let's look at the Word of God to see what the end times are really about. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 38 as we begin.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
And we have one mention of Gog and Magog in Revelation chapter 20, verse 8. Now, the one in chapter 20, verse 8 is troublesome, but I believe God makes it complicated so that people need to study and bad guys get it messed up. Okay? I believe he makes it complicated that we can't figure it out unless we have the Spirit of God and we divide it rightly. And then the bad guys, they don't understand, they get it all messed up. So we have this message of Gog, as we'll see, and Magog in Revelation chapter 20, at the end of Christ's millennial reign. When Satan is let out, he deceives the nations, and then it's called, almost in slang, Gog and Magog. Okay? It's almost like because of this Gog here, which we're going to see has to do with the Battle of Armageddon, that it really represents the nations, the leader of the nations that came against Israel, and God's judgment against the nations, okay? That it's almost a slang term at the end, the same thing, it's the nations coming, okay? So if you look at Revelation chapter 20, let's look there, because I want to show you this, because people say, oh, it's happening at the end of the millennium, and I believe our passage is going to show that it doesn't happen then. I'll show you why from Scripture. But they say it simply because of this one reference. We need to be careful. When we have one name one place and one name another place, it doesn't equally mean absolute equality between the two. Context determines the meaning of passages, okay? We got to be careful of that. We see one word here. You can't just import that meaning over here. It's the context that determines the meaning. Revelation 20, verse 7. Now, this is really complicated. I've been praying. I'm, casting my cares on the Lord because this is a really complicated passage to teach. There's so much here, and I'm praying, oh, Lord, please help me to explain it well, that they don't get confused. Help me to explain it so it's not too complicated, but exactly as you desire. So Revelation 20, verse 7, and when the 1,000 years, that's of the millennium, that's where we get the term millennium, Satan will be released from his prison. He's been bound, so he can't deceive the nations. He will come out and deceive the nations, which are on the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. Notice how that said, the nation's four corners, Gog and Magog. It's like saying, if let's say someone's name, someone's a police officer. You say, Jim, police officer. Nations, Gog and Magog. You see what I'm saying? He's kind of putting them together in the way that the language is, right? It's kind of a slang term here, Gog and Magog, to speak of the evil nations that come against God. It really is. I think that's why that term is used there prophetically, okay? Got to be careful to say, oh, that's the same Gog in Ezekiel 38? I don't think so. I think we're going to see from Scripture it's not. It's a slang term prophetically to point to the nations from all directions, and he uses that term there, okay? Notice he says here, and they came, they gathered for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore, and they came in the broad plain of the earth, surrounded the camp of the saints, beloved city, and fire came down from heaven and devoured them. Okay, so that's that Gog and Magog, okay? And they are destroyed. Now, I don't believe what we're going to see in chapter 38 and 39 is the same Gog. I believe it's pointing to prophetically something very similar to point out that point. It's the nations that are in rebellion that God has judged and will give a final judgment there. Okay, Now, you say, well, how can you say that what we're going to see in chapter 38 and 39 is in the Battle of Armageddon? How can you say that, Greg? How can you say it's not the end of the millennium? Okay? Well, there's one event that's related in Ezekiel 39, and it's also related in Revelation 19, and that's during the Battle of Armageddon. Look at Revelation 19. And we read this earlier in our service, but I want to read it now for the message. Verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written upon him which no one else knows except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus in his second coming, by the way. This is what it's speaking of when he comes and defeats his enemies, as we will see here, okay? And it says, and the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine, white and clean, were following him on white horses. I love this. Jesus is the one who's going to take care of it. He's going to smite him with the sword of his mouth. The armies just follow. They were following him. And he says here, and from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations, and he will rule over them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the Lord Jesus. No doubt about it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's the Word of God, okay? And he says here, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, to all the birds which fly in mid-heaven. Look at this now. Come assemble for the great supper of God, in order that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of commanders, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free men and slaves and small and great. It's basically saying, there's going to be a great slaughter. You birds, come, because you're going to feast on this slaughter. Now, if this was in the millennium, it doesn't make sense, because the people who came were not killed by the sword. They were hit by God by fire from heaven, and there's no bodies left to be eaten flesh. They got fried, okay? So here, this is speaking, I believe, of the Battle of Armageddon, but don't just take my word for it. Look at Ezekiel 39. This is the same portion, 38, 39. Look at Ezekiel 39, verse 17, and tell me this doesn't sound familiar, okay? As for you, son of man, thus says the Lord, verse 17, Ezekiel 39, speak to every kind of bird and to every beast of the field, assemble and come and gather from every side to my sacrifice, which I'm going to sacrifice for you. A great sacrifice on the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. You shall eat the flesh of mighty men and drink the blood of princes of the earth, as though they were rams, lambs, goats, and bulls, all the fatlings of Bashan. So you will eat fat until you are glutted and drink blood until you are drunk. For my sacrifice, which I have sacrificed for you, and you will be glutted at my table with horses and charioteers and mighty men and all the men of war, declares the Lord God. And I shall set my glory among the nations, and all the nations will see my judgment, which I have executed, and my hand, which I have laid on them. It's the same thing. It's the same judgment that we see with the Lord Jesus coming to smite the nations. He's smiting the nations, Revelation chapter 19, and here Ezekiel is speaking of the same thing. This is speaking of the Battle of Armageddon, where there's going to be a bloodbath of those who attempted to come and surround Israel and destroy her. And that's what we're going to see. There's a guy named Gog, and he's the guy that's going to be, in a sense, leading this. Is it the Antichrist? Possibly. Is it a commander that's on the Antichrist? Who knows? God doesn't want to tell us here. He could have said it was the abomination of desolation. It's the Old Testament. Daniel said that, but he calls him Gog. Okay? Well, that's so we don't need to know. So back to our passage. And there are other clues that I just need to mention that point out that this is the Battle of Armageddon, because also Israel is not saved yet. In the millennium, Israel is saved. So Israel's not saved. God comes against the nations, brings his judgment, and in that, the deliverer comes and Israel gets saved. You see? That's after God's bringing his judgment. You see? And we'll see that in chapter 39. Okay. So then, Ezekiel 38, 39, regardless of what people say, regardless of what the interpreters say, And there's a lot of people that do so little work in Ezekiel. If you look at people who are teaching it, they do a little bit, and they pull out these exciting passages, and they just say what they want to say about them. Okay? Sorry. Right here, it's about the Battle of Armageddon. It's about the end of the tribulation. That's what this is about. It is about the day of the Lord, his judgment against the nations. That's what it's about, which is going to bring about the purging of Israel and the salvation of his people. That's what it's going to, okay? So who is this Gog? Well, is he the northern king of Daniel 11? Is he the Antichrist? Does he represent Satan? We don't know. But we're going to see what God wants to tell us about him. He seems to be a leader of a group of armies that come together to surround Israel, as we will see, to destroy them, and yet they get destroyed. Okay, so back to our passage. Let's see what God says about Gog. Son of man, set your face, verse 2, chapter 38, towards Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. Okay, so first of all, Gog is of the land of Magog. Okay, that tells us everything we need to know, right? We got to figure it out now. Well, Magog was a descendant of one of Noah's sons, Japheth. Shem, Ham, Japheth, remember those guys? Okay. And he settled around the mountainous regions of the Black and Caspian Seas. This is southern area of former Soviet Union, okay? Kind of that's where it is. It's interesting to note that Meshech and Tubal were also sons of Japheth. These are nations, by the way. Remember, this is nations, okay? Genesis 10:2. And there's some geographical evidence, possibly, that Meshech and Tubal consist of what we know as modern-day Turkey. That's possible, okay? These are nations that came from Japheth, okay? Now, much has been made of the terms Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and I believe erroneously by ear-tickling end-times prophecy peddlers. Some would say Rosh stands for Russia, Meshech and Tubal stand for Moscow and Tubalex. Okay? They do. I mean, watch the prophecy guys. They say it outright, okay? And they tantalize you. Look at what Putin is doing now. Look at this, you know, and they try to bring it all into now, okay? We can't know. Things can change. People were saying that the tribulation was during the Holocaust. Well, that's done. And tribulation hasn't come yet. The reality is things happen. We'll know, okay, because we'll be in heaven, okay? We'll know when it comes. We won't be here. So, but here, they do this based on erroneous linguistic evidence to deceive the naive. I'll just be honest with you. The naive and the ear-tickling people, okay? Rosh is never a country ever named Rosh, historically speaking. And also, the term Russia is a 11th century word. That's like 1,500 years from the time that this was written, okay? So it's not Russia. And you say, okay, what about Meshech and Tubal? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. But you can also translate this word. The term Rosh in Hebrew means head. That's what it means. And it speaks of a leader, okay? You might see in your NASB it says, or chief prince of Meshech. I think that's literally what it's saying. It's not saying three places, Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. It's saying, what I believe, son of man, set your face towards Gog, the land of Magog. He's the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. He's the head guy of those two places. So evidently, Gog is the leader of those nations, but he has control over many other nations. That's what we're seeing here. Okay? So it's southern portion of Soviet Union, parts of Turkey. And so is Gog the president of Russia? Doesn't appear so. We don't know anything. We just know he is the chief prince, the head of Meshech and Tubal. That's what we know. Okay? We always want to fit it into what's happening around us at our time. And maybe that's the case. Maybe we're really close. Sure seems like it, but maybe we're not. We don't know. Okay, so with this in mind, don't get your prophecy from the prophecy shows on TV. Don't get your theology from Left Behind. Okay? Don't do that. These are interpretations that have a lot of wrong in them. Now, can you enjoy the Left Behind movie? There's so much terrible stuff out there. And you go, oh, we want to watch something that's maybe biblical. Right? And you watch it, go, okay, that's fine. But the stuff that's going on there, it's very erroneous. It's not biblical. Don't get your theology from there. It's a fiction based on a limited amount of scripture, by the way. If you want to know what prophetic events are about, which are about Christ, by the way, set down Left Behind, turn off Jack Finney, all those guys, and read Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation. I'm amazed how many Christians, you know, get excited about these prophecy books, and they know very little about the Word of God. Master the Word of God. That's what has the truth. You know, can we enjoy, like I said, the movies? Yeah, that's great. But don't get your theology from that. Read the Bible. So then, we don't have anything more about this Gog now, but we're going to see what he does. And so look at what God says about Gog, and then we're going to see what Gog says, okay? Son of man, set your face towards Gog, verse 2, land of Magog, prince of Rosh, or head prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, or head prince of Meshech and Tubal. This is language of judgment. God is against it. And notice what God will do. And I will turn you about and put hooks in your jaws, and I will bring you out, all your army and horses and horsemen, all them splendidly attired, a great company, a buckler and shield, all them wielding swords. Here God is going to sovereignly draw this leader, Gog, like a prisoner. He's going to draw him out like he's in chains to a military situation, which we will see is a full-scale invasion of Israel. That's what we're going to see. And notice he has his allies. Verse 5, Persia, Ethiopia, Put with them, and all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer with its troops, Beth Targama from the remote parts of the north with all its troops. Many peoples with you. Be prepared and prepare yourself, you and all your companies that are assembled about you, and be a guard for them. So Gog, this leader, is going to assemble these nations to attack, as we'll see, Israel. Persia would be modern-day Iran, comes from the east. Ethiopia, called Kush, southwest. Put is an area of North Africa, includes Libya, that's the west. Gomer was a son of Japheth, settled where we understand Ukraine is, the Gomerites. Ukrainites, that's a... And Beth Targama is the area which we would see as southwest Armenia. So it's a great coalition of nations, okay? Great coalition. A little different. It doesn't name every nation in the world here. It names a coalition of them, right? In the millennium, it says all the nations from the four corners. Here it talks about a coalition, names a few, doesn't name every nation. It could have said every nation on the earth was gathered together. It doesn't say that. So little differences, okay? So, notice what he says there, and this is going to happen at the end of time. Verse 8, and after many days you will be summoned, that's Gog, okay? You're going to get a hook in his mouth, going to get drawn into something, okay? We'll see in a moment that he does it from his own desires. In the latter years, you will come into the land that is restored from the sword. Literally in Hebrew, the latter year speaks of end of years. In the end of years, you will be drawn into the land that was restored from the sword. So then God is setting up Gog, luring him at the end of times, and as we see, according to his own desires, unto judgment, and to bring the nations to judgment also at the same time. It says here, verse 8, after many days you will be summoned, in the latter years you will come into the land that is restored from the sword, whose inhabitants have been gathered from many nations to the mountains of Israel. This is speaking of Israel, by the way. Now, we know that Israel was regathered after their initial exile. You'll see pictures of that, gathered back. But then they rejected Christ. Much worse sin than the sin that led up to their first exile. And then they were spread again throughout the world, never to be a nation until we see 1948, okay? And so here, he says here, have been gathered from many nations to the mountains of Israel, which had become a continual waste, but its people were brought out from the nations, and they are living securely, all of them. Interesting. Nation restored from the stores, habits gathered many nations to the mountains of Israel. Remember, we saw that term, speaks of Israel. So then, Gog is going to be drawn into the land of Israel, which was a waste because of Israel's sin on the near prophecy, and it was gathered back, clear allusion to him. And here it says they're living securely. The people say, aha, millennial kingdom, right? Well, the reality is, we see from Daniel chapter 11, the Antichrist, we see that he's going to bring a false peace. When the Antichrist makes a deal with Israel, what starts that 7-year tribulation clock, there's going to be a false peace, and they're going to be living securely, at least as a nation. Okay, so here we see in the latter years this be a full-scale invasion. Verse 9, and you, that's Gog, will go up and come like a storm, and you will be like a cloud covering the land, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. It's going to be a full-on invasion with massive amounts of armies, okay? By the way, there needs to be a lot of people for the blood to run 200 miles in the Battle of Armageddon, by the way. There's a lot of armies. It's going to be like a cloud. And so it doesn't look good for Israel right here. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24 that if those days hadn't been, if he hadn't intervened, no flesh would be left. So notice verse 10. God is going to reveal that although he is the one sovereignly pulling him to do this, that it's all Gog. It's all his desires. You see, God uses the desires of the wicked to accomplish what is good. He takes evil and turns it for good. He doesn't cause them to have these desires. He doesn't put those desires in them, but he uses them against them for judgment and for good. Verse 10, thus says the Lord God, it'll come about on that day, that's in the last day, right, the last years, that thoughts will come into your mind and you will devise an evil plan. He says, did you notice God's the one sovereignly leading him, but this Gog is the one that's going to devise an evil plan. You will devise an evil plan. And he says here, and you will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go against those who are at rest that live securely, all of them living without walls and having no bars or gates, to capture spoil, to seize plunder, to turn your hand against the waste places which are now inhabited and against the people who are gathered from the nations who have acquired cattle, goods, and who live at the center of the world. So here we see the motives of Gog. He wants to get the booty, spoil and plunder. They're living at rest, and he's going to use that and devises an evil plan for a massive military invasion, okay? And this is a selfish plan. It's a self-gratifying plan at the cost of others. That's the worldly mindset. Gratify self at the cost of others. That's the worldly mindset. So his plans may seem hard to grasp, but the reality is, if you don't know Christ, you think that way too. You devise evil plans to support yourself at the cost of other things around you. Your family, whatever it might be. People do all kinds of wicked things that destroy and hurt people around them.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, what's our takeaway?
Well, Dave, as we've begun to see, this man named Gog, his evil plans are hard for us to grasp. But folks, some of you listening, you've got evil plans. Your motives are to self-seek. You gratify yourself. You seek your own desires, and you do so at the cost of others around you. You see, that mindset is a satanic mindset. It's the mindset of everyone apart from Christ. And what this reveals is that you need Jesus. And maybe today God has prompted your heart and exposed the evil of your heart just so that you might see who you really are, so that you might turn to Jesus and be saved. Would you do so? Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lunstead, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.